The platform. Step up and speak out.
It's ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. The name is Larry Kwididai, and it is The Platform. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. It's just gone 29 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock on this 22nd of October 2018. Just to remind you of some of the frequencies you can listen to us on. You can listen to us on Chivu 99.8, Kariba 105.3, Mashingo 96.1, Mutora Shanga 97.6, Bulawayo, my hometown, Kwonto Tuziatunga is 106.7, and broadcasting out of Harare, where our frequency is 106.4. If you want to listen to us over the internet, just go to www.zfmstereo.co.zw, and of course you can download the TuneIn app, which is available for free. Just look for it via whatever application store that you get your stuff from, and just look for ZFM Stereo from that app, and you can listen to us live and in charge. We're also you can follow the conversation on facebook.com/ZFM Stereo, on Twitter at ZFM Stereo, on Instagram at ZFM Stereo ZW, and of course our lines are open on 0731 168 045. That's being our WhatsApp line, so do get in touch with us throughout the show as we tackle this very important issue. Now, the Zimbabwe Teachers Association released a statement recently in which it demanded a payment of salaries to be made in United States dollars, and I'm going to read part of it. The statement, it says, in light of the prevailing economic situation in the country where service providers are demanding payments in foreign currency, we as teachers in Zimbabwe, being the largest section of the civil servants, hereby demand to be paid our salaries in foreign currency forthwith. They added that failure to comply with demands will result in unforeseen circumstances. I'm going to ask you at home, do you think they should get it? Let's hear if they can convince the nation and whoever's other stakeholders, in as far as this important issue. And to help us tackle this issue, we've got in the studio the CEO of the Zimbabwe Teachers Association, Mr. Sivisendlovu. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Larry, and good evening, Zimbabwe.
And Secretary General of the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, Mr. Raymond Majungwe. Thank you very much for coming in. So, first question, Zimta, because I was reading this off your statement. Just give us a background to how you arrived at that statement.
Well, I think the outcry is from our membership, who are experiencing the hardships. And currently, Larry, I want to tell you that the hardships generally square to one thing, that the current salary that they're getting has become redundant. Not only redundant, but is highly inadequate. Why I say inadequate is because it's very little in terms of numbers and quantum. And because it's very little in quantum, the teachers cannot join the black market, which seems to be the corrupt line seemingly going through here in Zimbabwe and promoting the challenges that we are also seeing now. What are the problems that have come as a result? The issues, for instance, transport. Those teachers who commute daily have a challenge because the transport costs have hiked. And we have got teachers who are already paying up to $1 to $2 per single trip going to school. Remember, most of our educators do not have home ownership, and they would move from one place to the other, and as they move, they obviously now leave their children in different schools, so that adds another cost to them. Children going to school from an old suburb where they used to reside to a new suburb where they now get learning. So in that aspect, then we find that the teachers are forking close to about, in a family of five, about $12 a day in terms of transport alone, or more in cases where they get commuting. That's a transport issue. Then the other issue is about the medication. Some of our teachers are obviously on critical illness treatment, like blood pressure, and they need to have their monthly supplies. But all the monthly supplies that they have to get is demanded in cash now. And the cash that people want, the pharmacist, the pharmacies, is the US dollar. They reference it to the US dollar, even at times, although they take the rand, meaning that they want foreign currency. The demand, therefore, for foreign currency for educators is based on such developments and obviously the rising cost of commodities in the shops. I give you an example, for example, of rice. Why I use rice? Because that is the cheapest foodstuff that teachers would pick as prepared lunch for their children to school. And that rice, which we used to buy for $2, is now going for $8. And what kind of growth is that in terms of inflation? That is now affecting the quantum that they're getting, and but they can't join in. So basically, this is the bond that is forcing us to come in and demand that let's take away this useless paper, the bond paper. Let's take it away from our eyes and bring in real money. Now that this paper has lost its value, has lost its intermediate of exchange, we cannot continue receiving it as money.
And coming to you, Mr. Majongo, anything else you want to add to that before I go on to my next question?
I want to add the simple fact that I don't want to debate this matter on the basis of what Zimtar wrote. I want to debate it on part of the submission that the PTUZ had made. Zimtar made their submissions, and the PTUZ did exactly the same. And we wrote our own letters to the Minister of Finance, like the one that we actually delivered today, some that we delivered last week, to the Premier Service Medical Aid Society, and we have requested for a meeting, an urgent meeting, with them. And we give them that by, if on Thursday nothing happens in engaging the PTUZ, it's up to them to engage everybody else. But if nothing happens by the 25th of October, our position is very clear. We are going to mobilize teachers to say we are going to not go to, we are going to either go on a go slow or not report for duty, because in terms of our medication, we can't go to work without medication. Simple reality teaches you that a person that does not put their foot down in the time of need always falters. And in this particular case, we are looking at the cost of living. We are looking at being able to send our children to school. We are also being able to say, how else can we function? We are citizens. The cooking oil that we have to use, in many places, people are charging US dollars for it. The sugar that we have to, because we have to eat as well. Even if we are poor, we must also eat. And the tragedy is, even those people with children at boarding schools, they are now being told that from 2019, no child will be accepted at local schools without payment of US dollars. And I can give you quite a few schools that have made that pronouncement. So as far as we are concerned, it's not that we are being naughty. This is a debate that I've actually had on Twitter with many other people. Some characters coming up and telling us that you cannot earn foreign currency because you don't participate in the production of foreign currency, which is nonsense, because the idea is very simple. This idea of introducing the multi-currency system was not introduced by us. It was introduced by government under Robert Mugabe. And all of us were beneficiaries of that particular process. And what Mr. Love missed, a simple point, which it's not, he didn't miss it deliberately. When the salaries that we are earning were pegged, they were pegged at 340, 350, 380 US dollars, depending on the grade that one was at. And they've actually stuck to those figures, even if the US dollar then ran away. So we have a situation where the salaries that we are earning will simply reflect as USD on your pay slip in your account, but it's not USD, it's something else. And they then proceeded and qualified it as RTGS. So as far as we are concerned, if these guys are clear that they want to address the problems, they must also revisit this particular matter. The most important aspect being, we can't function. If you want us to report for work, look at our position, look at our plight. Mr. Love was very modest in his presentation. He said $2 per day. People are now spending up to $4-5 a day. If I take you out now to say let's go to Chitungwiza, you will not pay less than $2, because you can't then walk to Chitungwiza, because you will be robbed on the way. You can't pay $2 to Manyami. You can't pay $2 going to Headcliffe, because at the end of the day, this is what the combi drivers will say, because they are saying fuel has gone up wherever they are going, wherever they are buying it. So as far as we are concerned, rentals have gone up because everybody says it's their houses, because we don't have the houses. Government neglected us in terms of housing. We are basically lodgers wherever we live. And many of us, even if we go back to the negotiations that we did with government, when we were calculating transport, we always said, we look at the person who comes from Chitungwiza, who comes to Harare, into town, and then boards another combi to say, go to Headcliffe, because they possibly have a house or a relative who gave them a house in Chitungwiza. And that has always been the same for nurses, soldiers, teachers, and everybody else.
So we can't run away from that particular reality. So if you're going to board two combis, they will charge you a dollar coming from Chitungiza because they know you are desperate, you will come. But when you're going back, it goes up to $3. And then when you board another one from, say, town to any place outside the National Sports Stadium going the other way, they will charge you a dollar the other way. So it means $2 or $3 going in the morning and $5 or $6 going in the evening. So you can't make it at rates of $7 and above. So it means if a teacher who earns $340 has to commute daily for 24 days, it means they are not going to spend less than $200 on transport alone, without feeding their family, without going for drugs, without catering for their own children's transport and academic needs. So as far as we are concerned, teachers have basically been plunged into poverty, and that's unacceptable.
Get in touch with us on 0731-168-045. That's our number there. You're very specific about a date. You say the 25th yes. of October.
Yes.
And specific about the action.
Yes.
When you go to speaking about Zimta, just to be clear, are you also saying that you want payments in US dollars?
Yes. What is basically happening with Premier Service Medical? They've actually said you can go to a particular place and you go there and the drugs are not there. Like, take, for instance, a teacher who takes nifedipine or any of these hypertension drugs, the BP drugs. You go there, you are told you are supposed to pay in US dollars. The shortfall is paid in US dollars. Even if they are going to tell you that you can come to this particular pharmacy and you go there and the drugs are not there, what do you do? You can't then complain and wait for the pharmacy to provide you with drugs that they're going to provide at the at that particular bond price, and yet the drugs are simply not there. Go to any pharmacy anywhere, go to Mashungo now, they will tell you if you want drugs here, you have to pay in US dollars. Go to Chiredzi now, if you want drugs here, you have to pay in US dollars. So unless government tells us, and this is why we have extended the olive branch to government, and we have said it's not just a PTUZ. I want to believe even Zimta will come up with the same position, because we can't allow this thing to go on. Because if we allow it to go on, where this drug issue is neglected, then we have a problem. Just today we wrote another letter to Minister Mthuli Ncube to say, in the past, when these problems happened, either the monetary or fiscal policy was introduced, the Reserve Bank governor and the minister, Chinamasa, even if we never got anything practical or tangible from their discussions, but at least we engaged them and we would understand and we would impart the wisdom that we had. And we are simply saying to Minister Mthuli Ncube, engage us so that we understand where you are coming from and why you are saying what you are saying. Because if that is not going to happen, we cannot have a situation where we can just pretend and say we are told every day that Zimbabwe is open for business mantra and yet there is nothing for us. It's open for business but closed for dialogue. We can't have such a situation.
And then coming to you, he's very specific about when, by, and what action it should be taken. What is the position of Zimta?
We have given the opportunity to government to respond to our letter.
Is this open-ended? Is this should be by beginning of January?
When we said forthwith, we meant immediately. And when we meant immediately, we meant the 19th, that they should respond, that at least by this week they should have responded, because they received that correspondence exactly on the 19th. And we have given them the opportunity to call an emergency meeting, and we're waiting for their response this week. And
okay, when should this meeting have happened by?
Yes, definitely by the end of the week we're expecting them to come forward to us. And this is why we're giving the processes for consultation. What we have not done is to issue a threat which is not accompanied by effect and action. So we are going to do that definitely as soon as we see their turn of events.
Okay.
Clearly we'll be shown by their
okay,
discussion.
So your threat is ambiguous. You say unforeseen circumstances. What is unforeseen? Is it going to be mayhem? What is it?
When you say mayhem, I suppose...
No, I mean, like, if it's mayhem, could be like, we don't know what's going to happen, but something's going to happen.
What we know, definitely, is that difficult circumstances are coming. And when teachers are incapacitated, they don't go to work. And those are unforeseen developments. We may not preempt that. But when teachers are also angry, they may even call for an urgent strike. And that means they will be hitting back. Hitting back because there has been no response. So we are certainly saying the ground is open to chaos, and we don't want to see that chaos. So when you talk of mayhem, we're saying that we don't want to see this degenerating to that level of chaotic response. We want them to come to an organized and respond to the issues. We want to believe that's what they told us. They are a listening government. And as a listening government, we hope they will come back to us with that listening attitude.
So when you say a strike is this people going onto the streets, what is it?
We have not gone to the level of simple going to the street to demonstrate and enjoy ourselves in the sun and speak nothing. But a strike must be effective. And when we plan a strike as Mabacha Association, which we have done in the past very effectively, we mean to cripple so that the other party can respond. And when we want to cripple the other party, it's a complete shutdown. We don't want to threaten them now to say this can lead to a shutdown. We want to say this is currently open for discussion and come forward. This is what we are saying.
So when you say cripple, are you saying you're crippling the schooling system alone? What are we talking about?
We are teachers. What else can we cripple?
I'm just asking.
Yes, we'll cripple the system. And the system is education. And the system currently is undergoing a very serious development where we've got examination and testing going on. And that would be a very sad development for children to lose that time. So we don't want to use that as a bargaining tool. But we're saying to them, can you listen to that voice of reason and come forward for discussion?
But as far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't mind whatever happens. Don't forget, during the war, schools were just closed. Here is a situation where people are fighting. How do you send people to train? And when they've trained their employees, then you suddenly pretend that you don't realize, you don't see them. This is why we've actually come up with the date of the 25th. The 25th is, we wrote that letter last week. Teachers went and got their pays today, which are not only inadequate, but ultimately creates poverty for them. Because you earn a salary where you then don't know what to do tomorrow. Many of the people that earn salaries today, I'll just give you an example of student teachers. Before I come to people who are qualified, a student teacher gets $150. They have to pay rentals. They have to travel to school. How are they going to travel to work? So as far as I'm concerned, the government is simply saying to the young girls, go out and be prostitutes, go into prostitution to make sure that you subsidize government processes, so that you are able to go to work. And if you look at it closely, what are they saying to single mothers? They are simply saying, go and look for many other boyfriends so that you assist your family. What are they saying to married men and married women? Find something else to do. On Thursday, Friday, board a bus, go to South Africa and order cooking oil and come and sell it. If government wants us to report for duty and work every day, pay us adequate salaries and we'll deliver the best. The simple fact that teachers are saying we want to talk is what government must. We cannot have a government that goes preaches on top of every hill saying we are open for business, we have an open door policy, we are listening government, when they are not listening to us. Who else are they listening to us? They only listen to who? To the war veterans. Who else do they listen to?
So the question I ask is, are you saying this is the letters, before we take a quick break, the letters that have been sent are the initial communication that is taking place?
Sure.
For us, it's almost the second or third line. And we have written, and we are simply saying, and these are things that we raised. I will tell you, last July, a week before we had elections, I personally handed a letter to the president in his hands. I didn't throw it, I didn't post it. It's a letter that I gave to the president in his hands. And he whispered to me and said, when I win, I will come back to you and we'll talk about these things. And up to now, I'm still waiting. Because at the end of the day, the most important aspect is no movement, nothing will happen without dialogue. And we are simply saying to the government, we don't want to go back to the Mugabe era, where everything else stuck down and nothing happened because people didn't want to listen. Of course, we know that these guys are saying there are problems. But we can't believe it because the level of opulence and extravagance that we see in government corridors is not consumed. Commensurate with that particular position where they say things are tight. We see a lot of extravagance. We see unparalleled opulence. So we can't then be told that government has no money. And we have only, like I've always said, even if they're going to borrow the money from Satan, from Boko Haram, we don't care. Make sure that you give us the money and we provide the service.
Okay, yeah, I want to take a quick break and come back. I want to talk about that aspect and also talk about some of the things that have been coming up on our WhatsApp platform as well as on Twitter. Do get in touch with us on 0731 168 045. It's ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town.
The platform. Step up and speak up.
You tune into ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. We're talking about a very emotive subject that is to do with payments of salaries in US dollars that's being demanded by the teachers. And I've got representatives here, the CEO of the Zimbabwe Teachers Association, Mr. Sifiso Ndlovu, as well as the Secretary General of the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, Mr. Raymond Majungo. Just going to read some of your messages here. It says, Varume Ava exaggerate things, Rato Boa. Teachers act as if they are the only civil servants and only citizens of this country. Everyone, Arukubadara, Nema Bonds, what makes them so special? That's hogwash thinking, that's Wistek Z. Somebody there say other people in the rest of the economy are being paid in what you refer to as bond. How would you respond to
that? I think before he comes in, that statement, of course, is somebody who is sounding bitter, and I think thinking that they're stating the reality, they're experiencing the same problems, because if we are talking about civil servants, they're the worst paid people in this country at the present moment. I will not speak for anybody else, because I live with civil servants, I work with civil servants, and I understand that. Then the issue now that I think before we went for break, that Raymond raised, was the issue of dialogue. I think that is where we will get the government to pin it down. And the most important thing is for us to discuss with the appropriate structure, lest we bark the wrong tree. Because the results of government have got processes, and we should be attacking and activating the processes that are existing now, although they are redundant in terms of effectiveness, that means inclusiveness. We should be talking to NJNC, which is a body for negotiations. So we should be writing to Minister for Public Service, Labour and Social Welfare, and that we have done, and we're expecting her to respond quickly, because this is squarely on her desk, and that is the person who should be addressing that. And then he will have to call his other people to support her and give her the facts that must be done to correct the issue of civil servants. Because linked to that is the issue of the bonus itself. And we are saying, as the Mabuja Association, the clarity of what is going to happen with bonus must not be left to speculation. We must get it as quickly as possible. So all this we've coined into a letter and addressed to the minister to say, can you respond by the end of this week so that you avert a crisis? And when we say we avert a crisis, we are warning the system and we are warning the society to get ready to such confusion should this not be responded, because people will get despondent. And this is where we are coming in. And I think the comment that was coming in there, I think was misplaced, because the person does not live with the teachers, does not experience. So it's only the teachers who can talk for themselves effectively.
Okay. There is a question, somebody says, I think that's Clara, I think, says this, you mentioned a comment, said you don't care where they borrow money from. So the guy is talking of government borrowing money from whoever they pay, whoever to pay them. Well, then where do we get money to repay those loans?
Apparently, one must understand that the government must decide whether they want to be government or something else. If they are going to be the government, we can't go about telling them where to go and get money. And these people were employed. Before I even talk about the issue of the bonus that Mr. Andrew talked about, I don't think I will entertain anybody who come and tell me that things are tight and you are not going to get your bonus. When people here go to work, at some point in the past, President Mugabe, the unfortunate president who almost destroyed this country, knew very well that there was something called a legitimate expectation, and the bonus has almost become a right. And I don't want to believe that this new government, if they are really honest, they will come back and say we will not pay a bonus, because that, in my view, will be a very big disservice to the workers that have saved so much. And the workers that we are talking about, the bonus that we are anticipating is something in the range of $300 to $400. Can you equate it to the cars that we saw being bought for people who are not necessarily assisting or aiding anything in the national interest as far as the teachers or civil servants are concerned? And I'll basically respond to this guy who wrote, whoever that person is, to say, why should teachers think they are? Show me what teachers are, what they are not. A teacher is to the human mind what a doctor is to the human body. The reason why this country is where it is today is because of the perfect articulation, deliberate selflessness that teachers have toiled for. The reason why he's writing like that is because he's a product of the toiling teachers
who for several years have then been forgotten and abandoned. And as far as I am concerned, that mentality where people stand up and think that teachers are just like another group of vendors there that must be kicked and chased around, that are of no consequence to the economy. If these guys think that teachers are not of any meaningful importance and relevance to this country, let him try ignorance. Then you'll see the real difference that this particular point will make. As far as we are concerned, we represent teachers and we must speak for teachers. Why should they be talking for soldiers and intelligence and the CIO and everybody? They must represent themselves. And when we make our demands, we are doing so because we believe there is a structure that created us. There are laws that created us. So it's not a crime to then stand up and say teachers must be paid, because the trade unions are registered. We are known by government. The president knows that there is a Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe. He knows there is Zimta. He knows there is a person called Sifiso Ndlovu. He knows there is a person called Raymond Majung. And what we are talking about is, we have not said to government, give us AK-47s,
okay,
or give us tanks. We are simply saying, give us salaries.
So the question I ask is that exactly. The issue, Yekuti, at the moment, the finance minister said, okay, we're already so terribly in debt.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, even talking about rationalizing the civil service because the bill is already high.
You've had that for a long time.
No, I'm just asking.
The question becomes
under those circumstances that have become our reality,
let's deal with the issues.
No, is there an alternative?
Yes, there is an alternative. Let's deal with the issues. The issues, for instance, is all about how do we deal with corruption. Do we deal with corruption by firing people, or do we deal with corruption by overhauling the system? Because when you fire people, you are merely talking about power balances. You are not dealing with the issues. And currently, I can see there's a lot of saying, we'll chase this one. Remember, this issue of naming and shaming people is not a new thing. We could now have solved a problem by making sure that those people who were involved in siphoning and sending money away from the country could be answerable and bring back the money. But what happened? It is no event. And now we are talking about the black marketeering, which is now causing the problem. We should be addressing that. These are some of the symptoms that we should be serious. That's a solution, number one. The second solution that the finance minister, which I must, from a very clear conscience, congratulate, is the introduction of the 2 cents per dollar transaction, which is now hitting around that. Why? Because that is where the money for mobilizing for the public services would come from. At the present moment, what we see, people transacting all over using EcoCash from wherever, and that money is not being taxed. Even goods which are brought in illegally to the country, we find them coming in and they are being sold and people making money. So to me, that is the money that you should use to mobilize the incomes for civil service, because that is how we can reduce the deficit which he is suffering from. And that is one of the solutions. And economically, it makes sense for me to support that, and I will not want to shoot him down for that. But I want to say, yes, collect the money, but use it for the right purpose. It is only when he becomes dangerous by misplacing his priorities and uses the money for the wrong reasons that will attack him.
I will not agree with what Mr. Ndlovu has said. Not for the fun of it, but for the simple reason that you cannot tax an overtaxed person. The civil servants we are talking about are overburdened. So taking 2 cents away from the little 2 cents that we are already earning means not only does that erode our salaries, but it actually then puts us in a worse off situation. The people who must be taxed in this particular instance are the people who are bringing Bugattis here. We find people driving big cars, big Bugattis, and we never hear of what they paid in terms of what should be due to Zimra. I will not agree with that idea of saying 2% must be charged on a grandmother who is trying to send a surviving grandchild money to buy a pair of shoes or a cabbage, and the government grabs 2 cents from that little amount from my own grandmother. As far as I am concerned, government must stand up and say, what is it that we must do? Engage every other stakeholder. This option of saying penalize everybody for a crime that certain people committed, the people who have led this country and brought it down to its knees are here. And they are known. And the president at one time said he knew these people.
What has happened to them, we still are wondering. We are just seeing some cosmetic window dressing initiatives of addressing things around corruption. But we are not seeing the real toughness that I actually anticipated this government to have. Now you hear that this person from the RBZ has been suspended. And it's like a comic diary thing. It's like Comedy Central. It's like we are listening to some basket mouth scenarios where somebody just stands up at the podium, makes jokes, and they are affected the next day. Let's see clear government positions in terms of what happens next. Because as far as I'm concerned...
But the question I'm asking is, I mean, it's all very well to say in very, you know, broad set of circumstances, want to see this, want to see that. And, I mean, I think it's not fair to judge a fluid story and claim that it's not going anywhere. We don't have any evidence that the arrests at the moment aren't going away.
But that
is an emotion you have. I don't think it's fair because it doesn't come with facts specific to this issue. So in this instance, I cannot allow you to speak in that manner because the facts do not... We do not have facts for that matter. But I want to ask a question.
Yes.
The issues that are there at the moment... is that we have to, if we, how, it's almost, for some people say it's a chicken and egg situation.
Mm-hmm.
We are aware of some of these things, the restructuring of the economy that needs to take place. And you said in the statement that some of these effects will be seen March of next year. Is there an alternative solution? Is there... given that the little foreign currency we have already is trying to make sure that there's fuel in the country and so forth in that thing, is there an alternative solution around that?
If it was posited
to you,
yes,
would you consider it?
Right. Yes. What Raymond was giving was almost what I call safety protection nets for the vulnerable groups. And if the thresholds that the minister mentioned are anything to go by, then they can protect those groups who are not high volume pushers of money in whatever form. So we are saying here the 2 cents will hit hard those who are heavily pushing big monies. But the one who's pushing very little, like $2 a dollar, why takes that dollar? Because that person is in the worst levels of poverty. So it is the safety threshold that we should be advocating. And I thought when he was talking about it, he was almost alluding to the fact that, yes, these are the people we should be protecting. But why should I protect somebody who is pushing 48 million into the market? And I can't tax that. I must tax it and get as much as possible from it.
Okay, so also 731-168-045. I'm going to read a couple of messages and you respond as you see. Yes, for somebody, yes. I support these guys. Government should engage them because some of us are having A-level exams, so we don't want any disturbances because these exams are to die or are do or die for our lives. That one, somebody says we're paying pay as you earn. These guys... I don't know what he meant by that. I'm also going to read some more. Someone challenging the issue of the bonuses. The bonus is and always will be. Someone says, since when is bonus a right? So a bonus is and always will be a privilege. Far too many civil servants have lazed around, lining their pockets, doing minimal work, and then expect a bonus. Mm. I'm just going to read a couple of messages, and then you can respond. But we want to respond quickly because we want to get on to the other issues. There are a lot of questions coming in.
Yeah.
And someone says, let me just read this. I need to do this a lot faster. He says the gentleman talking on behalf of the teachers is very correct. And I love his honest and stand for what is right. Says this is my pickup from Highfield. Gonna read. Yeah, someone says he's talking about the price of cooking oil being $16 for a 2 litre in Kariba. Says the teachers are right. They are the most neglected civil servants in this country. And this is anonymous from Obulawayo. So you got a mixed bag there that we talk about. There's some people saying, "Okay, I understand." Because of the realities on the ground, the need for money, but you pick and choose from there quickly. I'm going to give you like 3 minutes each. What you wanted to respond from the from those statements from listeners.
Right, the exam one, Larry, the one who's talking about exam. I suppose that is a student. I think what we can do and assure the student is that we are professionally responsible, and that is why we are advocating for dialogue, because we have the interest of our children at heart, and we don't want to see their future getting disturbed because of these skirmishes. So if the appeal that the student is making is on our behalf, we think he is fighting on the right corner, because he's saying let the government listen and talk. So he's also advocating for dialogue. We think this is a good voice added to the very accelerated voice of the teachers, which says let's get for dialogue as quickly as possible. And then the issue of lining pockets and bonuses and lazing around, I think that is an issue of performance. It's a culture that we should change as workers everywhere. But what causes that, if you are going to laze around, is because at the first instance you are not sufficiently paid, and it's because of that you want to do some moonlighting, and that is looks like lazing around. So because I don't see a reasonable person waking up in the morning, going to work, and only to sit on the chair to dream. I think that kind of a person is saying,
you'd be surprised by what seemingly reasonable people get up to. But Mr. Machungwe.
I think first and foremost I'll simply say nobody wants chaos to become the order of the day. The teachers and the civil servants, wherever they are, they want to give quality service. But to our surprise and chagrin, we always note that government does not respect us. I will tell you that since the cabinet was put in place, there has not been concerted effort genuinely by the president or anybody else in the ministry. Imagine up to now, the Minister of Labour was appointed. Up to now, no meeting has been called to engage us. The situations around the medical aid situation is there, and the greatest victims are civil servants who don't, but nobody has called for a meeting. Mm-hmm. So if government is honest and they tell us that they are honest, they are listening people, they are open to everything, why are they not engaging their own employees? So I will not forgive them on that particular regard, because whatever decision that teachers are going to take, it's ultimately out of frustration. If government is honest, and I will plead with the president, Wamnangagwa, he is very different from Mugabe, but we expect something better out of him. He must rein in on his ministers, engage these people, talk to them. Good, we have met the Minister of Education, Professor Mavima, and I'm happy because he realized the pressure that was coming, and he called for a meeting with ZIMSEC, and we are still waiting for the second meeting that he promised us, because at the end of the day, I want to believe that what Professor Mavima did was in response to the pressure that the teachers unions were putting, and I expect the same for Sekesa Nzenza, to the Minister of Labour, to ultimately say, call for a meeting as a matter of agents. The Public Service Commission, engage the teachers, deal with the issues around salaries, deal with the issues around the demands that we are making, deal with the issues of medical aid and the situation that we have on the ground. Because without that, chaos is coming.
Okay, 0731-168-045. We were looking at your messages just now. But earlier on Twitter, we had a couple of messages here. I'm going to read somebody says, Lee Kwa Chuma, saying something that was said a little bit earlier. Says it's both irresponsible and immature to request what we all know to be impossible at present. Pray tell, where will the government get the forex to facilitate such, until bigger problems to do with the community, rather economy, are solved? This demand makes no sense. There was another one that says teachers get their salaries in the US, and so should everyone else in the country. That's a message here. Joseph Mayer says, do they something that you alluded to earlier, do they generate forex? What forex what's forex and how is it earned? And they're supposed to be teachers. God help our children. I want to look at it. Sven Heaven says, I think the real issue of value is not so much the US dollars. Teachers should most definitely be well paid, but and they should be able to live like they educate the nation. Gonna look for other messages here that don't necessarily say the same thing that's been said before. Respond to that.
Right? Yes, I think there is an illiterate statement there. I'm sorry to say that to the learner, to the speaker. When you say teachers don't generate foreign currency, which is true, but it is also true that teachers generate wealth for the country. Because look, when you talk of GDP, you are talking total cost of services and goods that are produced in one given calendar year. And that includes education service that we are delivering to society. So if you are going to measure Zimbabwe's wealth, you also have to measure the output of education. So it is a misplaced economic concept that the listener is putting across. They must know that everybody who is in, even the vendor who is in the street, is contributing to the GDP of the country, in other words, the wealth of the country. So there's totally nobody who is useless. And this idea of saying you are less important when you are not bringing in the US dollar is just myopic. We will not all be in the production of US dollar, otherwise the economy will be a cripple. What kind of economy?
Just to assist you here, is we have a country where we are gravitating towards somebody coming up with a pronouncement to say anybody who doesn't grow pigs must not eat bacon. Because I think that's where we are going. Why do you start saying if you don't produce foreign currency, you don't have to earn it? As far as we are concerned, must we all then become miners so that we benefit from the gold that people are producing? Must we all become farmers so that we go and cook sadza at our houses? At the end of the day, people must understand what economic fundamentals are. The people, just a simplistic analysis, the people who are producing the foreign currency that is coming here, their level of excellence and articulation, their capacity to do that is part of the, what we are doing currently in our schools. We are preparing them for that. So if you're going to look at the long chain and the knock-on effect of everything, those that are producing at the tail end, whatever they are producing and selling out there, is because we've made them, we've capacitated them to do that. And I don't even want to stretch the argument in that particular direction. The bottom line is, why do we start debating those things? We are a country that went through this experience, and all we are doing is we are playing our role, and we are doing that role diligently. There are children that we are teaching to ultimately become businessmen as well, are going through our hands and through our systems. So if anybody is then going to stand up and say, you're not doing this, so you're not going to benefit from that, I think that is the rank madness that this country can even tolerate.
Okay, 0731 168 0452. Do get in touch with us on our WhatsApp number and, of course, on Twitter at ZFM Stereo. We're going to take another break. We'll be back in the next couple of minutes.
The platform. Step up and speak up.
You're still tuned into ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. I'm with you until 8:30, after which Sheila comes with our story. We'll be taking on until 9 o'clock. My name is Larry Kwederai, and in the studio, I've got the CEO of the Zimbabwe Teachers Association, Mr. Sifiso Ndlovu, as well as the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe Secretary General, Raymond Majongwe. We are talking about whether teachers should get their salaries in US dollars or not. This is what their demand is, and the two separate organizations have placed towards the same goal but different arguments in as far as what they want to get achieved. We will go over those right at the end, just so that for anybody at home who might not have heard. But just to read some of your messages here, it says, I fully agree that teachers are underpaid, but they do not have the kids' future at heart, and theirs is not a calling, just a job. If they are truly dedicated to their calling, they wouldn't even talk about go slow or a strike. Very sad. He's going to read another message. Somebody says, come on, guys, why not ask for an increase instead of hard US dollars? Somebody say, I'm just trying to understand how this was written. I don't think I understand. Terry, please send your message again. I don't think I understand what you actually said there. So do get in touch with us on 0731 168 045.
I hear what that proposal says. Say, request for inflation-related salaries. One wants to believe that we don't want to become the same situation where it's a dog chasing its tail. Because what you're going to do today is we are going to say, let's get inflation-related salaries, and then ultimately what we are simply saying is, at whatever level and whatever currency that government is going to agree to ultimately pay the salaries, it will at least stabilize the situation. This scenario that we are going through is exactly what we went through in 2008 and 2009. And the only thing that stabilized this particular situation was the fact that we went out, government gave us US dollars, and everything else stabilized. Because as far as we are concerned, the 48 million in question that has been spoken about is is what has almost caused everything else that has happened. So at the end of the day, if people want to address this particular problem, let's go to the root cause of it. What is causing all these things? And it's not the teachers, because when we are in class, people are out there on the streets bargaining and doing everything. So we then cannot sit there and pretend that we are not victims of the economic malaise that is going on in the country. And it's quite sad that in this particular country, people think that teachers are coming up with preposterous, outrageous demands. Our demands are legitimate and genuine. All we are doing as workers, can somebody listen to what we are saying? The most important aspect that we are calling for here is, in underlined words, let us dialogue. Government, ministers, the Minister of Labor, the Minister of Education, the Minister of Health, the Minister of Finance, let's urgently meet to deliberate. Why are they scared of meeting their own employees? Let's meet and find a solution together.
So the question I ask, and you feel free to also go ahead to your point, is to say, say the meeting happens tomorrow.
Yes.
What time period are you looking at having a final solution by?
Look, Larry, let me be very frank here. This bond paper has been rejected by the market. Why should we be stuck with it? It's not the teachers who have rejected it. It's the market. So we live in that market. Look, it's not about percentages that we are looking for. You can increase it 10 times, 100 times, but as long as it is not an acceptable medium of exchange, then it's useless, it's valueless. Yet money has properties where we say it is a store of value, it is a measure of value, it must be accepted as a medium of exchange. So if the society has rejected this paper, why should we be stuck with it? So our advice then is simple, that let us take it away. And we are not going to be talking about the quantum. Because like Roman says, it will be stabilized as soon as we get the real man. Look, it's not good for us to say this bond paper is a shadow of a US dollar. But the bond paper is now, the shadow is longer than the real object, to an extent that it is distorting the real object. So we must get the real object. That means the money. And the money is the forex that we are using. And we have adopted a multi-system. Why not stick to it?
Okay,
and forget about this paper.
Because we're running low on time. Starting with you, Mr. Majogwe.
Yes.
Dialogue starts tomorrow.
Yes.
When do you want the solution by?
If the people come with a frank openness and we agree on anything tomorrow, so be it. Ultimately, the most important aspect that we are calling for here is find a solution for those people who want drugs. Find a solution to those people in terms of the transport. Nobody, and if you listen to what we said, we never said go and control the price of any commodity anyway. All we have said, make us survive. Make sure that you give us salaries that are able to carry us to the next month so that we don't become perpetual borrowers. And at the end of the day, poverty is what is dictating all these things to us. The most important aspect that we are talking about here is, if you're going to look at what is happening on the ground, we have not even gone to the basics that we are calling for. Government must intervene and make sure that production becomes a reality, manufacturing becomes a reality, and make sure that the government expenditure on many other things that are happening are basically arrested, such that the little money that we are making in foreign currency is able to assist stabilize the process. Because for as long as we are going to be spending a lot of money on wrong items, in senseless expenses, the vicious circle of poverty will deepen and ultimately create more confusion. Government must learn to engage. It's not just engaging us alone. We need to engage many other factors and many other stakeholders and stockholders. Because without dialogue, if honestly Minister Mthuli Ncube thinks that on his own he can craft a particular policy with Yes Lumumba and anybody and say this is the correct direction this country must take, they are wrong. They must call in everybody and anybody who is interested. Come, let's dialogue. What's the best way forward? Ultimately, I've always argued, even on Twitter, and said, even if the people who voted for ZANU-PF in this past election are not happy with the direction of the country, and if they're not going to engage them, they're in trouble with their own supporters.
So the question going forward is the same question to you, then I'll have my final round of questions. When do you want a solution by? Like, would you accept a framework?
We say it forthwith, meaning that the problem is now.
So, I mean, the argument that has been proffered is that the reforms are going to take time, and therefore the effects of the reform, which is talking about, Minister Ncube said that these would be felt by March next year.
There is what is called confidence loss currently. When you lose confidence in a system that fails to address several problems repeatedly, then you cannot trust it. So if we are going to have trust, we should therefore engender that trust by ensuring that every aspect of the economy feels the same pinch. But if it is only the lower rungs of society that are meant to sacrifice, then there is a skewed attention to priorities. Then as workers, we may not be very pleased by that. And actually, we are not pleased. So we cannot accept that kind of luxury time to say it must be done at the opportune moment. The agency is now, and the agency is of dying it.
So in your opinion, there are no possible measures that could come to the table, like he's talking about creating a framework in which teachers can survive and so forth, and there is no other option other than
Let's hear those frameworks in a dialogue situation. And if we say we're dialoguing, that would be a give and take. Let's have that. But if it is at the present, as it is at the present moment, where it is pontificated from some high echelon somewhere, then we need to understand and we miss the point. So let's get the dialogue. Let's understand what framework we're talking about. That is what
the real challenge with what Mthuli Ncube says, that things are going to be okay in March. It's the same story that you were reading in grade one. In 1978-79, where there's a story where somebody is saying, Sekuru tawaya kumusha and Sekuru, the Sekuru says, Nyarara akonja kubaira huku. Meaning that, keep quiet, we'll slaughter a chicken. One, the chicken was not at the homestead, nobody knew where it was. But at the end of the day, ultimately, you then become prisoners of hope. What Minister Mthuli Ncube is simply saying is, wachatu ubaira huku, and we'll go to the table and eat the chicken in March. What is it on the table that they've given us to say, by March things will be well? We have not seen the roadmap. Even if it is going to be a hazy one, prove to us that things will be okay by March. And why, my question is, how do you arrive at March 2019? When in actual fact, the simple basics that we are calling for, engage the people. There's nothing that beats engagement, dialogue. If even in any homestead, where there's nothing, if there's engagement and honesty and dialogue, solutions can then be proffered. Engage everybody. This idea that it is our product, it is our vision, it is our message, it is our everything, will kill this particular thing. Government must know we are citizens together. And the victory will be enjoyed by all of us. Even if they may not like us from where we are coming from, the ideological persuasions that motivate us. According to Macheso, listen to everybody. Somebody will come up with an outrageous idea that will ultimately lead us out of this confusion.
Okay, just going to look at the last round of questions or statements rather. Says I'm just going to look here. My joke was talking sense. Teachers must be paid in US dollar. The schedule in Glendale. It says just going to lead to. Teachers need to live decent lives. It says people must not rush to defend government. Lots of people say government has no money without knowledge of that being a fact. Gonna look for another. Somebody says support the teachers union, and it says just gonna go trying to find here. Did I just lose this message? Yeah, we support the teachers. Says the government is slow to react. That is Adi Kwa Honde. And say, going to read some more here. I think we tackled that. Ask those teachers, get my US dollars. Acho Ano Vepi. What the gentleman says, the gentlemen are saying is correct. Please write your name so that I can attribute your comments to you. But yeah. I just want to see one more, maybe something that hasn't been said. Says, can you ask the gentleman if the guy, ask the gentleman in the studio, Kuti, the government wants to cut the wage bill in a situation where the Ministry of Education claim a large chunk of the salaries. Is what do they suggest the government should do to strike a balance here when they pay in US dollars? Beyond that, I mean, I think some of those things were already tackled. Someone sitting at home will say, but I'm paying school fees in what you define in RTGS or whatever the case may be. Yeah, and also now the taxes I pay, for example, and now might need to end up being affected quickly because I've got like 2 minutes to go. I'll give you a minute each to respond on that and also your rounding comment. What do you say to someone like that who says, okay, I've got this real fear because my companies were said on online saying that they're not willing to pay US dollars because they just simply can't afford to. So the rest of the population will say we still have to pay in a different currency.
Larry, there is the issue of the wage bill. The wage bill, who is attributing it to the salary for educators? That's a misnomer. We may need to do some bit of analysis of the spread of the money. You may find that the bigger chunk is not in the lower ranks,
okay,
but it's up there.
Let's focus on the question asked because we actually run out of time.
In terms of the wage bill?
To say someone sitting at home and saying that get paid.
The other TGS issue, Larry, when the schools are just giving them reality. The school will want to buy ink and bond paper to print the examination from me or photocopy or something like that. And they'll still be called to pay in US dollars. That's what the school is doing now. So if the schools are actually charging that.
Does this include government schools?
I'm talking about those schools have to buy where the supplier says, I can only give you bond paper at this rate of a dollar. So what does that other teacher save?
Like I said and alluded previously, the most important thing here is it's not the workers who would go to the employer and say this is how we are going to raise money. Government employs men and women of wisdom, doctors and professors. I can't sit here and then come and say I want to provide a solution as to where government is going to get money. If the government is serious and they have appointed their best men and best women, they must come up with a solution. How are they going to make sure that they pay their workers? All this nonsense that people are going to say, teachers cannot earn foreign currency because there's no foreign currency in this country. A country with all these minerals that we have, a country with all this agricultural land that we have, a country that spends so much money importing toothpicks, and then people stand up and tell me, they must think outside the box. If they don't think outside the box, they must then ultimately make sure that they ultimately go back to somebody else and say, what are you thinking about this? Because we cannot then come here and say government does not generate foreign currency. When they were campaigning and saying they wanted to be the government, they were saying they have the solutions. Give us the solutions and find and make sure that you give happiness to the citizens. I cannot come here and say, where is government going to get money? I'm not the government. It's the duty of the employer to look for salaries for his employees, okay, and to make sure that they pay them well.
That is the voice of the Secretary General of the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, Mr. Raymond Rajongwe, and before him, the ZIMTA CEO, Sifiso Ndlovu. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming in.
Thank you, Larry, and good evening, Zimbabwe.
Coming up now is Chila with Our Story. I'm back with you tomorrow between 8:30 and 9 p.m. on Health Matters, and on Wednesday between 7:30 and 8:30. Stay tuned to ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. And as I say, always where I come from. My name is Larry Kwiriraya. I see Luis Asebenza.